You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Kai Ryssdal. It's Friday, and we're taking a look back at the week. It's not just me who thinks this morning's unemployment report was weird, by the way. 5:37 this morning, that's West Coast time, at Gina Smilek on Twitter. This is a very weird jobs report. That's a quote. Bizarre. So that is where we'll start the next 7.5-ish minutes of this program. Gina's at the New York Times. Brian Chung is at Yahoo Finance. Hey, you two.
It's okay.
I was paying attention to your Twitter, Gina. I always do. Why weird? Lay it out for me.
Right. So it was a much bigger jobs gain than people expected. And it was a really solid earnings number as well. Average hourly earnings were up very high. But at the same time, there were a lot of people on temporary layoff because of the pandemic, which is, you know, that part is what everyone expected. But everyone expected that to mean that we had a really weak jobs growth number this month. And that obviously didn't pan out. And so I think, you know, you had to kind of dig into the numbers and see what was going on. It's like there is some quirkiness around people not getting laid off after the holidays the way they usually would. But it just made everything look very unusual. Very strong, but very unusual.
Brian, also strong, those revisions from November and December up 700,000. It has been a rough stretch for the BLS this pandemic as they try to figure out how to measure things. Well, maybe Brian's not there. So, Gina, I'm going to throw the same question to you then. What do we do with this when the BLS sort of, I mean, they're not missing, right? Because it's super hard to begin with measuring a workforce of 163 million or so people. But these revisions, I mean, what are we supposed to do with that?
Yeah, it has been tough. It's been a tough time to sort of assess any kind of economic data. It's all been a little all over the place. But I think the labor market report is just such a huge production every month that it has been particularly susceptible to some of this weirdness, especially because, you know, at the household survey level, you're dealing with people responding to questionnaires, and at the establishment survey level, so the number that the unemployment rate comes from, or the number that the headline plus numbers come from, that one you have to deal with companies responding to questions. And so people answer wrong, you get misclassification, and it's just been a real mess. So it's been, I think, one of those times Jay Powell, the Fed chair, likes to use the word humble a lot right now, and I think we all have a little his favorite word du jour, and I think it's a good one for the data.
That's right. All right, were he still with us, I was going to ask Brian about an interview he did with Rafael Bostic, the head of the Atlanta Fed, either this week or late last week, frankly, I forget. Brian, if you're listening, I apologize. But Bostic said, look, maybe a half percentage point increase is on the table for this March meeting in the federal funds rate. Gina, what do you think?
Right. Brian freaked everybody out with,
interview.
But so Bostic kind of clarified this week, actually. And he said that, yeah, he definitely thinks half a percentage point increase, which is basically a double-sized, jumbo-sized rate increase, could be on the radar going forward. But he doesn't think it's the right call for March. That said, after today's jobs numbers, a lot of economists are thinking that the Fed might revisit that because wage growth looks just so strong that maybe they'll, you know, reconsider and do that half point increase in March.
Don't you think, though, that that would freak everybody out more? Because the Fed has been so deliberate in its communications. And look, Powell has said, in essence, in diplomatic speak, he said, everything's on the table. We're going to wait to see what the data says. But don't you think if they bumped it a half percentage point, 50 basis points, people would go bananas?
I think it's going to be interesting. You know, if they decide they want to do that, they do have a couple more weeks to communicate that they're doing it before it happens. And so the idea could be that, you know, you let markets adjust to the idea. I think there is also something to be said for at a time of high inflation, and we haven't had one of these in such a long time that I think people forget, but there is this theory that goes that at a time of high inflation, it's okay to surprise markets a little bit because the idea is to tighten financial conditions, you know, to make credit harder and to slow things down. And so it does seem like they've had less sensitivity to surprising markets recently than they had, I think, in the entirety of the time that I've covered the Fed.
Totally. Through the miracle of modern telecommunications, I think we got Brian Chung back. Brian on the phone?
I'm here.
All right, good. I don't know how much of that you heard. We talked about the half percentage point hike that Bostic laid out in that interview with you. I want to ask you about the rest of the year. There are 8 meetings, and there is some talk out there that maybe every single meeting is live. That is to say, they could raise rates every single time this year. What do you think?
Yeah, well, it's really interesting just because headed into this year, the expectation was that the Fed might only hike 3 times during the year. But I think what we've learned is that inflation has come up well above not only everyone's average expectations, but the policymakers inside the ivory tower of the Fed, too. And that's what the kind of gist of the official speaks since the last meeting last week has been is that inflation has indeed stuck around longer than they feel is comfortable. That's a big reason why they've messaged they want to start tightening policy. Now, markets are trying to figure out exactly what that means. Does that mean 3? Does that mean 4? Does that mean 5? Does that mean 7 interest rate hikes? Does that mean 50 basis point moves instead of the standard 25 basis point moves in each of those moves? And I think that that's something that markets are trying to figure out. Of course, Fed officials won't try to put a number on it because they don't want to back themselves into committing to a specific policy. Right. That's something that Chair Powell actually wanted to leave on the table last week, is the optionality for policy this year.
Right. Gina, there's a phrase that came to my mind the other day that you haven't seen out there much, but I suspect we're going to see it a bunch in the next couple of weeks and months. Soft landing, right? That's what the Fed is trying to engineer here. Get the economy less exuberant, shall we say, without causing recession.
I think that that is definitely what they want to do. I think that, you know, you increasingly talk to economists who say it's going to be a tough lift because inflation's pretty high. Everyone expects it to fade, but nobody knows when. And you could really see a situation where the Fed starts hiking just as inflation fades and everything slows down all at once. You could also see a situation where they don't hike fast enough and inflation just continues to take off. And so I think they're trying to sort of balance all of these myriad risks and not sort of, you know, end the party before really getting started.
Right.
And so I think it's going to be a real question whether they can pull it off this year.
Brian, it's worth pointing out here that the recovery we have had so far has been a result of fiscal policy, that is to say relief from the government, just straight up money, and also monetary policy, that is to say interest rates and other support from the Federal Reserve. Got to point out here that even though the economy's growing and doing real nice, those two supports for this economy are now effectively done, and we're kind of on our own.
Well, and that's one reason for perhaps why we might not see that more aggressive 50 basis point move in the March meeting. And again, markets might tell you something a little bit different. There's the expectation that either way you cut it or slice it, the economy is going to grow slower than it has during the last 2 years, some point this year. And you don't want to be pulling all of that support during that time, especially knowing there's a monetary policy lag, as Gina was kind of laying out in that last answer. So the timing of all this is going to be very difficult. It's like trying to land a plane in the dark with no lights and no radar on your system as well.
Yeah. Brian Chung at Yahoo Finance on the phone for us, and Gina Smilek at the New York Times. Thanks, you two.
Thanks, Guy.
That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.